The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
God always works through people. Get that in your head. God always works through people. If you ask God for a miracle, He may show you something you need to do.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers. We have such a great show for you today. In fact, it is a question that you have probably asked at one point in your life. Most of us have, and if you haven't, you may be someday soon. We all know that the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and we can agree that His timing is quite often different than our timing. So take a look at this question from social media. Gabrielle asks, how do I get the immediate miracle that I need? Wouldn't we all love the answer to that question? Well, Joyce is going to answer that today on the show. And before that, let's warm up with another question. You know, living for Christ can be challenging. Picking up our cross and following Him is way easier said than done. So when obedience to God is too hard, what do I do? Here's the answer.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord as His representative, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that all may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, I want to say a little bit about that. If you have parents, you're no longer living at home, and you don't ever pay any attention to your parents, you don't go see them, you don't call them, you don't ever do anything for them, then you need to really think over what God says about how to treat your parents. And it's not a good enough excuse to say, well, my parents didn't treat me right. Mine abused me, and the time came when God said, I want you to take care of them and take care of them well until they die. And it cost a lot of money, and it cost a lot of time, and it wasn't something that I wanted to do. But we don't have to want to do everything that we do. We do it as unto the Lord. Amen? And, you know, it's very important to me that you get this part. If your parents were dishonorable, you may not have all the gooey feelings toward them that you would like to have, but love is not about how we feel. It's about what we decide to do as far as how we treat people. If you do what's right, because it's right, and because you want to honor God, now listen to me, God will always take care of you. He will always take care of you. We don't get to be good to people because they're good people. We're going to look at Matthew 5, 44 through 47 for a second. We'll put it up on the screens for you. But I tell you, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and He makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers. For if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet your brethren, what more than others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles and the heathens do that? So He's saying, you don't get to be good to people just because they're nice people and they're good to be good to. You do it because of your love for God and to show that you're a child of God, because that's the way He treats us. How many of you, God was good to you before you were good to be good to? And still is. Okay, verse 6, not in the way of eye service as if they were watching you and only to please men, but as servants and slaves of Christ, doing the will of God heartily and with all your whole soul, rendering service readily with goodwill as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that for whatever good anyone does, he will receive his reward from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. So you've got a reward coming if you're doing what's right. Doing what's right is a protection on your life. It slams every door in the devil's face. Did you hear me? It slams every door in the devil's face if you do what's right. Verse 9, it talks about, this talks about how children should submit to their parents. Parents should not take their angry, undue chastisements out on their kids. Any of you ever have a bad day and take it out on your kids? Yeah, well, four, that's good. We got a lot of holy people here today. Let me read you something that was in a commentary that I read on Ephesians. He said, you'll notice how these verses talk about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is a principle of Christian living which applies to believers in every relationship of life. And now that the Apostle Paul turns to consider the Christian family, he shows that it even needs to apply there. Now listen to this. Did you ever stop to think what a wonderful institution the Christian family is? In reading a letter from a missionary who was working in a heathen land, I was struck by this paragraph that he wrote. This missionary wrote this letter. How we wish that some of our Christian people could come and settle down among us, even if not to engage in missionary work. There are different ways by which one may make his living among these semi-civilized people. For instance, we would like to have a Christian dentist and his wife, or a Christian worker in leather, a shoemaker, a harness maker, and his wife and family. Now listen, it would mean a great deal to us to have a harmonious family here, for we can conceive of nothing that could so commend Christianity to our people as just to see a Christian family functioning according to the New Testament. He's saying that there is no better testimony to the world of Christianity than to just witness a Christian family, moms, dads, children, husbands, wives, working together in society and behaving themselves as Christians. Isn't that amazing? You know what the bottom line is? If we'd all get out and act like what we say we are, it wouldn't be very long, and Jesus could come and get us, and we could get out of this mess. So here's a question for you. Do your family, relatives, and friends and relationships look like this? If not, what can you do to improve it? Nothing, I guess. I don't know. All right, we're having fun today. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. In other words, you're not going to do any of this if you don't stay strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Let me tell you something. It is so super foolish to get out of bed and just try to behave. Let me tell you something. I can lay in bed and make all my plans for holiness, and they last until I put my feet on the floor, and that's the end of it. So even though your heart is right or my heart is right, you still have to have a boatload of help from God. And you have to have it every single day of your life. I'm sure sometimes I sound like I've got something wrong with me. There's no telling how many times every day I say, God, help me. Help me, God, help me. And I'm not even real sure what I need help with at that moment. It could be putting my contact lens in. It could be combing my hair. It could be getting up to preach. All I know is I am useless without Him. I can do nothing apart from Him. And I need God's help in everything that I do. Amen? Now, you see, this is what keeps a lot of people from entering into a real full-on relationship with God, because they don't want to depend on God that much. They want to have enough of God to stay out of hell, but not enough to walk in victory. And if you want to really have the kind of relationship with God that Jesus died for you to have, then you've got to let him into every room in your life. No blocked off rooms. I mean, he gets to get in everything. He gets in your thoughts. He gets in your words. He gets in your sex life. He gets in how you dress. He gets in your money. He gets in your choices. He gets in your friends. But I tell you, the trade-off is amazing. Yeah, it's a little hard in the beginning, but I tell you, it's not really that hard anymore. Once you understand that you're just not going to be happy if you don't do what God tells you to, that things are just not going to work out right if you don't do what God tells you to, has anybody learned that yet? You are not going to be happy if you don't do what God tells you to do. Ephesians 3:16. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Paul said, I pray that you would be strengthened with all might and power in the inner man so you can get out there and have a spirit-filled personality and behave the way that you ought to behave out in the world. You can't do it without God's strength. And then Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. We can't do it without help from God.
What Joyce is sharing today comes from her series on the book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. It's just so meaty. There's so much good practical application in there. And God just lays so many things out that will change your life. So a great Bible study on Ephesians is something that I love and I think that you'll really benefit from too. This is Joyce's action plan. It's a great way to dig into God's Word, because it includes many different ways to understand what His Word is saying. It includes CDs to listen to, DVDs so that you can watch. It also has a personal study guide so you can take this out and spend some time in that. And it has a little booklet of the book of Ephesians inside there too. So it's great for your own personal Bible study. It's great to use with your family or maybe a small group from church. You can pick this up right now. I think that you will love it and you'll benefit from it. All you need to do is go to that phone, go to our website, joycemeyer.org, and let us know that you would love to have this. And I think that you're going to be glad that you did. We have Joyce's answer to the question, where is my miracle? But first, here's a story of a woman who went against everything that she knew and felt to follow Christ. And he led her to a happily ever after that she didn't see coming.
I, Crystal Crowley.
I, Crystal Crowley, take you, Mickey Lyles.
To be my husband.
To be my husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better or for worse.
At this moment, on this day, Crystal Lyles is happy. She's just married her one true love. And like the fairy tales say, from now on, it's happily ever after.
Unfortunately, anytime somebody gets married, you don't get an instruction book. And if you're not mature enough to use the Bible as your instruction book, you're just out there. And so we made a mess of it pretty quick. At one point, we started struggling, being completely disconnected with each other. And I found that he was in an extramarital relationship.
The couple divorced, and Crystal says her heart grew cold and bitter.
I felt like I had given our marriage everything I had. And when I decided that I had had enough, I just flipped that switch and that was it.
Obviously, I hurt her in the worst way possible and I broke that trust. And so now that bitterness that she created through that broken trust, it showed through.
You know, when we would drop the kids off and he would leave crying, I didn't feel anything about that. I was like, really hate that.
I remember being in a corner, balled up in a fetal position, just crying uncontrollably, you know, wanting to repair what I had damaged, just wanting to be in my kids' presence, wanting to be in my wife's presence, you know, but that wasn't an option.
You know, there are consequences to certain actions, and it's not like this is new. And so, I didn't feel my heartstrings pull whenever he would show emotion.
Bitterness became Crystal's armor. In her effort not to feel pain, she couldn't feel anything. Eventually, the armor became her prison.
I was justified in the way I felt. You know, everybody, I could ask anybody, and they were like, yeah, she's got a reason to feel that way. You know, that just fired me up even more. You know, yeah, I do have a reason.
You get hard because you get tired of getting hurt, and you think that's the only way to protect yourself.
I ran across her teaching just flipping through the TV channels, doing what I had to do, regardless of how I felt, was one thing that she really taught me. You don't always feel like it. I didn't feel like praying for him. I didn't feel like being nice, and I certainly didn't feel like forgiving him. But as I did those things, God used that to just mature me a little more and a little more and a little more, so it made it a little easier each time.
Crystal forgave Mickey, overcame bitterness, and began experiencing the beauty in her life again. Then one day, God put it on her heart to reconcile their marriage.
I felt like I wrestled with God all day in my spirit. And I mean, this went from about 11 in the morning to about 11 at night, all day. Cried, I laid in my room and I cried. I'm like, why do I feel so unsettled about this? What will my family think? What will my friends think? We are divorced. It's not like we just had a bad fight. We are divorced. He pays me child support. We are completely done. I felt him say, you have been praying for me to show you what I have for your life. I had Jeremiah 29:11 plastered everywhere, at work, in my car, refrigerator at home. He said, you know, you trust that I have a plan for you. You've been asking me to reveal that plan. I'm revealing it to you. Aren't you going to go with it?
I really started seeking God for myself, not to impress Crystal, not to appease my mother, not for my children's sake, but for my sake. And as I started seeking him, he started giving me peace that whether you get Crystal back or not, you need me to be happy. And so that independent seeking of him for my own personal relationship was the turning of the tides.
I was praying during that time, you know, God, please just send me a Christian man. I want a man that leads me to church. I don't want a man that I have to drag to church kicking and screaming while he sits in the pew and practices his golf swing. You know, I want a guy that's really there. And I was trusting God for that. And God answered my prayer. He gave me a Christian guy, but I never expected him to give me a Christian Mickey, you know?
The couple's remarried, and today realizes that happily ever after isn't always the goal. Sometimes peace comes after the storm, but with Christ, you can endure the challenges of becoming one and experience wholeness together.
God's plan is always perfect. You know, why we can't lay down and just trust it every day? It's difficult. But it's so worth it, you know, it's so worth it.
God did ask Crystal to do something that she at one time thought would be impossible to do. But just like the Bible says, his ways are good, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And Crystal learned so much in her obedience. Well, we love to hear what you learn in life as well. So now it's time for your voice. We asked you to share with us, what has God asked you to give up that you didn't think you could live without? We got some great answers. Kathy says, I'm a single mom. I was very lonely and I met someone I didn't think I could live without him, but I trusted God in ending the relationship. My relationship with my children has greatly improved and I feel much better about myself. I trusted God and this took me to a new level in my relationship with him. Those are hard things. Samantha says, I smoked pot for over 30 years. I never thought I would ever stop. I got saved, but still smoked for 2 more years until I finally let the Holy Spirit take over and remove the desire. I'm weed free for 3.5 years and alcohol free for 3 years and 3 months. All the glory goes to God. Samantha, congratulations. That's wonderful. And Yvette says, Pepsi. Years ago, I gave it up. Now I rarely can drink any pop. I wish that worked with bread, but I am still a work in progress. Yvette, you and me both. And you even said pop. I'm a Midwest girl. Around here they say soda, but I had to give it up too. It's just one of those things that can really get a hold on you. But with God's help, we can do all things. So this time on social media, not including something that you had to give up, but what is the most challenging thing God has asked you to do? Let us know, because it's great encouragement for all of us. As we see how God works in everybody else's lives, we can trust He'll work the same in our lives. Use Facebook, Twitter, hashtag EA. Just let us know. You can go on our own page on joycemeyer.org as well. But we love to hear from you on social media. Earlier, we shared this question with you from Twitter. This came from Gabrielle, and she said, how do I get the immediate miracle I need? Well, here's Joyce's answer.
After Adam and Eve sinned, God already had a plan for the restoration of His people. Let me tell you something. God is never without a plan. And I know that there's a lot of concern about what's going on in the world today and what's going on in our nation today, but I want to tell you, God's got a plan. He hasn't told us what it is yet, but He's got a plan and we're part of it. Amen? And so He planned to get His man back and He planned to restore that man's authority. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they gave their authority to the devil. The authority that God had given them to rule and reign and have dominion over the earth, they gave that to Satan. And that can be proven if you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 6, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. One of the temptations was the devil said, you bow down to me just this once and I'll give you all this and all this power because it has been turned over to me and I can give it to whoever I want to. But see, he didn't know as much as he thought he knew because he was talking to Jesus who actually, the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the wicked one. So he was actually talking to the one that was going to destroy him. God always works through people. Get that in your head. God always works through people. If you ask God for a miracle, He may show you something you need to do. Yeah, oh, my word is right. That has become very big to me in the last year as far as teaching. It's just like we are partners with God. He works through people. God can do anything He wants to. And I'm not saying that He never works sovereignly apart from people, but all you got to do is look at history. He worked through Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Esther, Ruth, Daniel, the prophets, the judges, so on and so on and so forth. And He wants to work through you. And furthermore, it is almost unbelievably astounding what God can do through one man or one woman who will be submitted and committed to Him. It is, I mean, mind-boggling what God can do through one person. One person. One person. So God had a plan and He waited. See, God's good at waiting. We need to get better at it. And then He found Abraham and He made a covenant of faith with Abraham. And let's look at it. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage away from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with an abundant increase of favor, and I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and I will curse him who curses you or uses insolent language toward you. And in you will all the families of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. Well, that sounds to me like a pretty good reward for just walking away from a bunch of stuff. And what you may not know is that Abram's family were all idol worshipers. So God had to get him away from that. Okay, so now listen to me. Here's a man who walks away from everything in order to have the will of God for his life. And some of you won't walk away from a group of friends. God has said, get away from those people. They're poisoning your life. Or it might be something as simple as, don't sit at that lunch table and listen to the gossip day after day after day. Get out, walk around the neighborhood and talk to me.
Well, I want to be part of what's going on.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? He told Abraham, you got to let go of something to take hold of something. And some of you, there's something wonderful that God has for you to take hold of, but you're not doing the letting go of that God has told you to do. Amen?
So Joyce has addressed these questions today directly from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is full of so many wonderful things that just really apply to everyday life, and they will change your life. She has this, it's called an action plan, and the reason that it's called that is because it's so easy to grab it and take action with it. It helps you study the book of Ephesians and really get a deeper understanding of it. It includes CDs, DVDs, a personal study guide, everything you need right here to see what God says in the book of Ephesians about these questions that we've been addressing today. So we hope that you'll pick this up right now. Don't wait, do it. Dig in there and start applying God's word to your life. And make sure that you are here with us next time on Everyday Answers.
We're either going to believe God or we're going to believe the enemy. We're going to believe God or we're going to believe our feelings. We're going to believe God or we're going to believe what people tell us. We're going to believe God or we're going to believe our own mind. We're going to believe God or we're going to believe our circumstances. And I think you've probably been around long enough to know that God's got a better reputation than all the rest of those put together.
Now remember, as hard as it is sometimes, His ways are higher than ours. So we don't always understand it, but He is a good God and we can absolutely trust that His ways are for our benefit. He loves you so much more than you can ever imagine. So hold on that today, no matter what it is you're going through. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.